that one. Learn a new skill or hobby. Father in heaven. Lord, we recognize our need.
Number 7, quit smoking.
As we move into this new year, it's a year of uncertainty.
Spend more time with family and friends.
But may we focus on the one who is
number
in 9, control.
Travel more.
The end from the beginning.
And number 10, read more.
Lord, we ask this morning that you would,
you know, despite the best of our intentions,
yield our hearts to you each day.
Once the glow of the fresh new year
with the consecration
dims,
prayer,
we tend to stop going to the gym.
Ourselves and our children.
Start stocking our cupboards with the junk food again.
Lord, we want our faculties to be sanctified.
According to a study
of Christ,
published in the Journal of Clinical Psychology, only 46% of people who made New Year's resolutions
all the glory
are successful.
We
so
want
over
you
half
to lead us through
the
this
people
new
who make
year.
Resolutions are going to fail.
We thank you for.
I love what Ellen White says. Higher than the highest thought is his ideal
now
for his
come
people.
Before you with broken hearts.
We can't even fathom what God wants
be led and fed
for us.
By you. We thank you, Lord, for
he
hearing
wants
and answering
us to grow
prayer,
more
Jesus
than
name.
We realize. Most people who set New Year's resolutions have good intentions and they want good things to happen. But the problem is, and it's the same problem that's plagued humanity since the fall, and that is that we have a dysfunctional will. If there's one name that you would not associate with failure, it would probably be Michael Jordan. But you know, his story is one of overcoming. And it wasn't so easy and straightforward for Michael Jordan. He said, I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I have been entrusted to take the game-winning shot. And I missed. I have failed over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed. Michael Jordan was cut from his basketball team in his sophomore year, but he didn't let that get him down. He worked harder and he stayed humble. And it was years of effort, practice, and failure that made the star that we know today. On February 21, 1999, Jack Ma had a presentation for 17 of his closest friends in his China apartment. He wanted them to invest in a new business that he wanted to start. But his friends knew about all of his past failures. They knew about his coursework and exams that he had failed, about all the universities that he had applied to and was never accepted to, and the 30-plus jobs that he tried to get and was rejected. And there was also a couple of business ventures that he started, but they failed. Most people might have been dissuaded by all the rejection. But Jack was determined, and in 1995, he decided he would create China's first e-commerce company. Despite all of his previous failures, there he was standing in his apartment, pitching this vision to his friends for hours. But they knew of his failures, but they also knew of his determination. And in the end, all 17 friends invested a total of $60,000 for Jack to start this new business. And the only reason they did was because they trusted that he would be hugely successful. And they were right. Over the next decade, Jack built what would become the world's largest e-commerce company. Today, Alibaba is worth over $180 billion, but it would have never existed if Jack didn't trust in himself after all these failures. You know, we make these New Year's resolutions because we want change. But the Bible has another word for it. And in the Bible, it says overcoming. And overcoming involves perseverance and conflict and hardship. I'd like to look at what Jesus says about overcoming in the Bible. And in Revelation, John writes to the seven churches through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And in each church, Christ addresses the church and gives a diagnosis for their problem, and then gives a promise for the overcomer. We're going to look at just the final church, which is the church of Laodicea. And that is the church period that we are living in right now. Revelation 3, 14 and 21 says, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." So what are we overcoming? Are we overcoming sin? Are we overcoming our willpowers? Are we overcoming ourselves? Well, you're overcoming the primary problems of that church period. And so we have to look at what the problem was for the church of Laodicea, what the problem is for you and me. Revelation 3, 15 through 20 says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. Then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with the eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." So we have to identify what the problem is for Laodicea. Is the problem of Laodicea that they have a problem? It's not that Laodicea has a problem that is the problem. It's that they refuse to see the problem. And this is the last church period. The first step to overcoming is realizing that you need change. Jesus said, "Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." So unless we become poor in spirit, we can never become rich in grace. Unless we come to God and say, "I am needy. I cannot do this myself. I am sinful." This is the first step. Until you come to him as you are, a with all your filthy rags and realize your need. I love what Ellen White says, our only argument to God is our great need. In Romans 6:12-13, it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That word present means to yield. Are we yielding our willpower? What are we consenting to? Who are we yielding to? We're yielding to God. Christ wants to come in. Says that He is knocking at the door. He's just waiting for us to open the door. So our fight is not with sin, but it's with surrendering to God. If you choose to fight sin, you're going to lose. When you choose to do it yourself, you are in essence saying, I am God. So I want to do a simple little illustration, and I've asked our two elder deacons, Ron and Bob, to help me out with this simple little illustration. So first we've got Ron here, and Ron's a big guy, and I want you to picture him kind of in his prime when he was in the Marines and he was buff. And so Ron's going to represent God. Bob here is going to represent humanity, you and me. And for the sake of the illustration, I'm going to represent Satan. And so if Bob comes to me, if me or you comes to Satan on our own, are we going to be any match for Satan? No, we're not going to be any match against Satan. But now if Bob comes together with Ron, yields together, and now they step towards me, what is Satan going to do?
God's going to say, Satan, get behind you. This is my child, not yours.
That's right. Well said. Thank you. So of course, whenever we yield ourselves to God, Satan's going to flee away. In James, it says, when you submit yourselves to God, he's going to flee away. And so our goal is to continually yield to God. He will be the one to overcome sin in our lives. He's willing to fight our battles for us. In Romans 8, it says that if Christ is in you, sin is dead. And in Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you. It doesn't say let it be around you or near you, but it says, let it be in you. So we need to pray for the mind of Christ every day. And you know what will happen? God will do the works that He's been wanting to do in you, keeping those resolutions and transforming your character. And so we've got the three steps for overcoming. Who remembers what the first step was? Yes, I heard. Realizing your need. The second one is yielding to Christ. And number three is praying for the mind of Christ. When the Spirit of God comes upon us, the faculties of our mind are aroused to action in new life. Who knows what faculties are? Our faculties are the governing part of our will. It's our emotions, our conscience, our reasoning power. New thoughts, new feelings, and new motives are implanted, and a new standard of character is set up. As the Spirit of God continually comes upon you, those faculties are beginning to be sanctified, and they're aroused to new things. God implants new thoughts, new words, new feelings, new motivations. And what you do when God implants them in your mind, you are to take advantage and act upon them. This is the mind of Christ. You say, I'm going to follow that step. I'm going to follow that new feeling. And more you'll be sanctified to the mind of Christ. Today is the beginning of a new year. His life being in you. God wants big things for you in this new year. He wants to change your character. He wants to develop your talents. He wants to help you become an overcomer. Ellen White says that each morning consecrate yourselves and your children for that day. Make no calculation for months or years. These are not yours. One brief day is given you. And as if it were your last on earth, work during its hours for your master. Lay all your plans before God, to be carried out or given up as his providence shall indicate. Accept his plans instead of your own, even though their acceptance requires the abandonment of cherished projects. Thus the life will be molded more and more after the divine example. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your minds and hearts through Christ Jesus. Sister Shelley will sing us a song of invitation.